All right, good morning, everybody. I'm Matt Mancinelli. This is my most lovely wife.
Good morning. My name is Loretta, by the way.
Here's a little Grace Community Church trivia for you. This Sunday, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, is always the lowest attended Sunday of the year. And it's the second year in a row that Doug asked me to preach this Sunday. So before I chase those implications too far, I do think this is going to be a treat this time, even if I am the B squad, based on that metric, because Loretta is up here, and we're going to split the duties, and I think that's going to be quite fun. Mostly thanks to Loretta, I actually think that these next, minutes here could change your 2020s. You guys know a new decade starts in a few days? And, I realize that's sort of a crazy claim because I don't think sermons tend to change decades. But what we're going to invite you to do is to take one small step. And I believe that if you take that one small step, God will show up, and that can do some of that. And so that's what we're inviting you to. I've seen that in my life. I've seen that in the Bible. And what we're going to ask you to do this morning, or invite you to do, is to choose one word for 2020, one area of your life that God might be inviting you to change, that he might be nudging you in. And as I talk about what do you want to change, how do you want your life to look different, some of you may have 10 things that jump into mind right away, right? Maybe we call those resolutions. You want to lose weight. You want to wake up earlier. You want to quit smoking. You want to read your Bible more often. Whatever those things are. But with that long list of things, it's hard to make it a week oftentimes. But what if there was just one thing that you could focus on? Imagine how, if that one thing in your life changed, what that could look like. And that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, so two quick interruptions, even though we just started, and I'm interrupting myself. I don't know if that's called interruption. I was just thinking this morning, feeling nervous. I hadn't planned to say any of this. But number one, I know that there's some people here who don't tend to believe what we believe. And I feel nervous about that because I feel like you are going to be looking at me like I'm crazy because I'm going to say some crazy stuff. And even some of you guys who come here every week, if you really think and dig into this stuff, could look at us like we're crazy. We're going to talk about things like God still speaks to us today. And so I just want to confess that out loud. I know that y'all are going to think I'm crazy, and we're going to just move on. And second, I'm a little nervous because I feel like I might not have anything to share that's helpful to everybody, or we might. I know Loretta does, actually. I feel like her parts are great. But my parts. And so to mitigate that, I just want to quote Jesus two times. I feel like if you quote Jesus in a context of love, how can you go wrong? So if all the rest of what I say sucks, at least you have these words of Jesus to hold on to. And so so two things that Jesus says, and these are relevant to where we're going, even though they're interruptions. Number one is he says in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And then I was also reading just this morning in Matthew 13:15, Jesus says, he wants people to see with their eyes and understand with their hearts. And he says, so that I may heal you. And so I say those, you guys are probably familiar with some of those, at least the life that is truly life is kind of a familiar life to the full. But I want to contrast them with what we tend to believe, what I often tend to believe, which is Jesus came to die on the cross so that we can eventually go to heaven. And that is true, but it's only part of the gospel. What's as amazing is he says, I want to give you life that is truly life, life to the full right now. And I want to heal you right now. I don't want to just leave you in whatever you're in for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then eventually you'll go to heaven. He says, no, I want to do those things now, give you full life, and give you healing now. And so as we dig into this idea of one word, I just want to encourage you, with, let Jesus encourage you with those things, that he doesn't want to leave you where you are. He doesn't want to leave me where I am, but he wants to give us more life and heal us and change us in the year 2020.
So this morning, we want to invite you to get specific by picking one word to focus on for the upcoming year. What's one word to represent what God might do in your life this year? The rest of this service is going to be practical. Matt and I will be sharing our story and want to help you, to help encourage you to pick a word and to live into it. So you might ask, why? Well, because we think it could change your life. Part of our story that we'll be sharing later is about how God has used the one word challenge to dramatically change our lives over the last couple years. But first, let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 18. For those of you who don't have a Bible, there's a Bible under your seat. And for those of you who want, you can just look on the screen. It should be up there. So Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43.
And while you're flipping there, I just encourage you to pay special attention to this question that Jesus asks in the story, because we'll dig into it a little more.
As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask a stupid question. Did this interaction change this guy's year or decade? I mean, of course, right? He could see. He couldn't see. Now he could see. And how did his life change so dramatically? Well, I think he encountered Jesus. And by the way, Jesus wants to meet you even this morning. And he asked for what he wanted, right? He told Jesus, "Here's what I want you to do in my life." I think lots of us do the first part of what this guy did. "Jesus, have mercy on me," right? Even this morning in worship, we are singing, "The overwhelming love of God, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. But what does it do when it gets there? What does it do when it finds me? Right? We stay in this general world, "God, have mercy on me." But how do we get specific? Well, this guy got specific and he said, "I want to see. I want you to give me sight." And that's why we need to pick one word to get specific, to say to God, "Here's what I want you to do in my life this year." Like this guy said, "I want to see." So how should we pick our word? I'm going to let Loretta mostly handle that one from our story, but I have two thoughts as we jump in. Kind of in summary. One is it's all about listening. And this is even one of those things where I'm like, this could sound weird. But it's clear in the Bible that God still speaks to us. There were a few of us who gathered in the chapel this morning praying and listening for God. What do you want to say to us today? And we'll actually share with you some of what we heard in that. But how do you pick your word? The first part is listening. And that may feel foreign or maybe not, but if you listen, we believe that God will give you a word. And number two, that doesn't mean necessarily that God will do that this morning, and that's okay. So, you know, Doug was even encouraging me to share, hey, it may not happen this morning, it may not happen for a week or a month or 2 months, and I was thinking to myself, that's a stupid idea. Like, it's a word for 2020, we have to have it before 2020. but the reality is, I don't have my word yet, and I have a feeling I've got some good ideas, but I'm going to go into 2020, maybe without having it nailed down. So I just want to give you guys freedom to say it may not happen this morning. It may. We'll give some time and some guidance on that, but we'll keep listening until God leads us.
In October of 2017, Matt and I attended the Soul Care Conference here at Grace, and the speaker, Rob Reimer, as he was sharing, said, "Intimacy takes sacrifice." If you want to have intimacy with Jesus or in any relationship, you have to be willing to sacrifice things like time, energy, sleep, etc. A few days after that, Shanae Shoemake, interestingly, pushed me toward that word intimacy again by encouraging me and challenging me to spend an hour of time with Jesus every day, no matter what. And I was thinking, seriously, who is this lady? And as soon as I got off the phone with her, I went and told my husband and some friends that we were staying with about our conversation. They're like, does she know that you have three small children? And I was like, actually, she does. She has four kids. And at one point, they were all small. Anyway, about a month and a half or so after that, Martin Sanders came and preached at Grace in December, and he launched the One Word Challenge. For me, that was my first time hearing about it, and as he was talking about it, I just sensed that my word for the year would be intimacy. So after the service, Matt and I went down front to pray, and we each prayed individually, listening, and I totally felt the confirmation that my word for the year would be intimacy. And Matt also heard the word intimacy. So we were very excited when we shared that with each other that we would be able to focus on that for the upcoming year. And for us, that intimacy meant intimacy with Jesus and also intimacy with each other. So last year, we had such a great experience sharing our word. We wanted to share a word again, but we were being led in different directions. Matt's word this past year was wisdom, and mine was contentment. And I don't remember the exact moment that I got my word for last year, but I remember that God had been stirring in me a desire to grow in contentment because I had been really struggling in my stage of life and my circumstances, and also around being materialistic and always wanting more. So this year, oh dear, this year, Matt came home one day and told me that Doug had asked us to share about the one word in the service. And I was like, you can't be serious, right? And for multiple reasons. One, fear of being in front of all of you lovely people. Two, just insecurity, feeling like I have nothing to contribute or to share, or someone else has a better story or could do a better job. And I guess maybe the more important thing for me was, I don't even have my word yet. How am I supposed to get up there and talk if I don't have my word? And Matt's like, well, you better start praying. Thanks. Over the past couple of months, I've learned a few things about myself. One is that I'm a control freak. Well, I guess I've known that a little longer than a few months. But one thing that I've really learned over the last few months is that I am a very performance-driven person. And being a control freak and a performance-driven person and raising three small children is like mixing oil and water. They like don't really go together. So I vacuum up the floor because my bare feet have crumbs all over them, and then one of my kids spills a bowl of dry Rice Krispies all over the floor. Or I leave my toddler on the toilet to go to the bathroom while I run upstairs and get my bottle of water, and I come back down, and he has peed in the toilet, which I asked him to do, but he's also stuck his favorite backhoe, which is a construction toy, in the toilet before he flushed it, and is running it around all over the hallway floor and the bathroom floor, so it's soaking wet with non-clean toilet water. I cook dinner rarely, and they don't eat it. I ask them to do things, and they scream no at me. The performance-oriented stuff doesn't really go so well around my house. And if I don't get my mental list of things to do done for the day, it's because I get distracted with parenting, and then I don't feel good about myself. I get mad when one of my kids is throwing a fit and I have to stop unloading the dishwasher to parent them. Now, I have this mentality that my kids are interrupting me for my tasks, but my tasks are really interrupting me from parenting. And Matt, kindly and gently reminds me that parenting being a mother is really my number one job. And that if the other stuff doesn't get done, it doesn't really matter because that stuff isn't important. But for me, those things that I do make me feel valuable. They make me feel like I have worth. They make me feel like Matt should love me or does love me or should appreciate me. And they also make me feel like Jesus is proud of me and I can be proud of myself for getting everything done. You guys may think, why is she sharing all of this? Well, it has to do with my word for this year. This year, I feel like God is leading me to the word rest. I cringe at the word rest. When I first sensed the word, I was thinking, this cannot be my word. I like to do. Don't get me wrong, I like to relax and I like to have a good time, but doing is my thing. Doing makes me feel valuable. It makes me feel worth something. And rest doesn't. A couple weeks, I guess, after I sensed this word rest, Doug was preaching, and I bet you can't guess what he was preaching on a couple weeks ago. Rest. And then literally 2 days after Doug preached on the word rest, I was like, this can't be my word. This can't be my word. I was doing my Bible study fellowship lesson, and it was on Hebrews 4, which is also about rest. I was like, word of the year confirmed. Oh dear, why can't my word be do? I could nail that one. For me, my one word for the last 3 years hasn't been neon lights on the side of a building or this brilliant idea or genius thought I've had out of the blue. They've been passing ideas or thoughts that God has stirred in me that have gotten traction as other things have coincided with them. The words I've chosen haven't been easy for me, as you'll hear a little bit later. The words have been stretching, and I've had to rely on Jesus. And I'm going to be relying on him a lot this year as I engage in my word rest. Rest in him, and sometimes rest from doing.
Isn't my wife awesome? She's been so nervous, but it's so great. All right, I think maybe the ushers may have some of these cards that they can bring you if you don't have one. But did people get one of these on the way in? And there's some pens in the backs of the seats. They're like every other seat, so there's maybe not enough quite for everybody. But if you want to raise your hand, if you need either a card or a pen, there are some people who can give you one. And we've got a handful of hands through here, a couple up here, and some folks are bringing those around. So that's great. Just keep your hand up for a minute, and these guys will get to you. Okay, so on the front of that card, there are two questions. The front, I'm calling the front, the side with the little sticky note thing. And we're actually going to do something that could be a little awkward, which I'm a little bit sorry for, and that is all be quiet in the same room together for maybe a minute this morning. But I want to give you a couple minutes to, or a minute, to just jot down your answers on here to this question. And this is brainstorming. You're not going to give this to anybody, nor are you carving it in stone. So just answer and we'll see where it goes. So the first question on there says, if Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you tell him? Right? This is the story. This is in the story we just read with the blind man. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. But what would you tell Jesus? What do you want him to do in your heart or in your life? And then the second question there says, what has God been stirring in your heart? Do you already have some ideas about where he might be leading you? So, right, in Loretta's story, there were some things, there was this intimacy idea was already developing before the one-word challenge came. Are there some of those? So I'm going to be quiet for 1 minute and just think with your pen on a couple of those, on those two questions. Okay, that was about a minute. For some of you, like, we're just getting started. Others are like, thank you, finally. So you might need to keep listening. And a minute, I feel like, is a long time to sit quietly in church, but not a long time to dig into your heart at all. So hopefully you'll take that with you and keep doing some of that. In any case, I trust God will give you your word. Again, maybe not this morning, but over the course of the next week. But now we want to switch gears a little bit and talk about what do we do with our words once we have them. And again, Loretta will speak to some of this. I've got just a couple thoughts to kick us off. One is we've got to keep our words in front of us. And so Loretta and I have done some things over the last year, written our word in some cool way, got it up in our room. We were talking to Doug and Meg about it. They write their word on a chalkboard that's hanging in their kitchen. last year, a number of us made dog tags, right? They were out after the service where you could kind of like punch your word in, which doubled the volume of my keychain, but was otherwise excellent. And so we want to keep our words in front of us. And a big part of that is so that it can stay top of mind and we can mull it over. And again, Loretta's going to share a little bit about her word last year and how that mulling over worked in her.
So my encouragement to you is once you choose your word, you have to let yourself wrestle with it. My word this year, as I mentioned earlier, was contentment. At the beginning of this year, we were planning on going to a wedding in Florida, where we used to live, to a friend's wedding. And about a month before the wedding, I started thinking about what dress I was going to wear to the wedding. And since my word of the year was contentment, I decided that it wouldn't be appropriate to buy a dress because that wouldn't be practicing contentment. But I also didn't want to wear the nice black dress I had in my closet that a friend had given me 6 years before that I had worn to every wedding and nice event that we had ever been to in the past 6 years. So I was trying to figure out how can I find this perfect dress? Well, I went on a hunt and I harassed my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law and my friends and even some of Matt's coworkers trying to borrow a perfect dress. And I tried on lots of dresses and annoyed lots of people. And I still couldn't find something. So I decided that I could stretch my rule about buying a dress if I went to Salvation Army, because then it wouldn't be new, it would be used. And I'm sure you can imagine, I didn't find anything there. After all the dresses I tried on from all my friends, nothing at Salvation Army worked either. So as all of this was transpiring, I was realizing there is an issue here. What is the obsession? And I had been thinking that it was around being materialistic and wanting something new. But as I was trying to figure out what was going on, I kept asking the Lord to show me why this obsession, why this was so important for me to have this perfect dress for this wedding. And he totally revealed to me that I wasn't concerned about anything else I was wearing the entire time that we were in Florida, but only at this wedding event. And at the wedding, we were going to see a group of old friends that we had in Florida that I always felt like an outsider around. I felt unloved and unwanted, and I had always wanted to fit in with them and be invited to their hangouts or their get-togethers. And finding the perfect dress for the wedding was just a band-aid to cover up those emotions of feeling unwanted and unloved. And I'm so thankful that God chose to unveil my eyes to show me what was going on. He clearly showed me something. And I, just like the blind man that we read in the story, Jesus unveiled his eyes, and Jesus unveiled my eyes. And once he did that, I experienced a huge sense of relief, and almost like I could breathe deeper, and I was thankful for that. But it was also really sad to kind of have to, I don't know, dig into those emotions and to realize what was really underlying that. It was also very freeing because once God revealed that to me, I no longer had this intensity and obsession to find a dress. I was like, okay, I'll just wear the dress I have in my closet, which is what I did. Now, don't get me wrong, I still probably wanted a new dress because who doesn't like a new dress? But you'd look cute in a dress, babe. Or maybe not.
Not so much.
Anyway, if it wasn't for me pushing in and wrestling with my word and asking God to reveal something to me, I never would have uncovered those deep emotions and feelings and experienced the freedom and the healing that he had to offer me.
So Loretta just shared about this wrestling with the word throughout the year, like that small example, or I mean a big example, but small period of time on her word contentment. But if you're like me, and I know I am, dad jokes, okay, thanks. It's hard to keep a word in front of you. It's hard for me to keep a word in front of me for 365 days. I need some practical pieces, some practical things to do. So with that, I want to flash back for a couple minutes to last time I was up here this summer when I was talking about spiritual disciplines and this idea of training versus trying. And so one of the things I told you is that Loretta forced me to join a gym this year to try to get in a little bit better shape.
I did not force him.
And it was a gentle forcing. And I joined this gym here called Cyphus Training, which I totally love, and encountered this task called the inchworm. And on my first time there, there was just no shot I had at achieving it. No matter how hard I tried, no amount of trying harder could make me do this exercise and get to the other end of the gym. I would have to actually train for it. And we were just at Cyphus with some new people yesterday, and I can now do the inchworm down and back, but not just because I was trying harder, but because I had trained for it. And in the same way, as we get into our word, for Loretta to wake up at the beginning of last year saying, I'm going to try hard and I'm going to be more content, or for me to wake up saying, I'm going to try hard and I'm going to have more wisdom, we just can't muster it in ourselves. We have to, A, rely on Jesus, but B, do some training. So in that spirit, I want to just show you this, my wisdom board from last year, or from this year, I guess, for three more days, and it'll be up on the screen as well so you can see it a little better. But it says wisdom here. That was my word for the year to keep it in front of me. And then there are various goals I set, which I ended up realizing it was a few too many to do that. But like on the bottom here, I said, I want to read the book of Proverbs 6 times. And so there's number 1 through 31 on the bottom for the 31 chapters of Proverbs. And there's little dice here, and I would just each day when I read a chapter, I would get up in the morning, read one chapter, and I'd flip that little dice. And so half the mornings of this year, I woke up and I read a proverb. And right in the spirit of training over the course of the year, that was training to help me grow in wisdom.
Can I interrupt you?
You may interrupt me.
Okay. For my word contentment, Matt had encouraged me at the beginning of the year to set some goals around that and just to keep it on my radar so I wouldn't let it pass away. And I sense that my contentment would grow through gratitude. So for my goal, I decided to journal about things that I was grateful for and thankful for on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's great. So I had some other things like that. I wanted to read Ecclesiastes and Job a couple times, a book about wisdom. I did that. I wanted to choose wisdom over money a half dozen times in the corner. But there's also some things on here I did not do. Like I wrote on here, memorize 12 verses. Here's a confession. The four that are even listed on there, we kind of put on there when I was getting ready to speak last time and show this, and I kind of crammed them. I don't even remember them anymore. So that was, I should just get that out there. But some of the stuff I didn't do, and I did, I think I tried a couple too many things. And so this year, I'm going to keep it simpler. Not that the things will necessarily be easy, but have less things that I want to do. And I'd encourage you to do the same. Actually, let me just share for a minute about my word for this year, which I don't have, like I said, I don't have nailed down yet, but it's something around my heart. The word may even be heart. Or maybe deeper, about feeling some emotions deeper or awaken, like for my heart to awaken up to some more feelings. I even thought about the word heal, which makes me uncomfortable to say to myself, let alone to all of you, because the word healing implies that something's wrong, right? That there's sickness or brokenness of some kind. And I don't like to feel like I'm broken or I'm sick. this is probably TMI for church. I'm sure it is. But Loretta has been encouraging me to consider getting a vasectomy. And her word she keeps using is fixed. You need to get fixed. I'm like, would you stop saying fixed? I am not broken and I don't need to be fixed. Yeah, I won't share that second service. That's too much. Yeah, that's real. All real. Okay. But the reality is, while I don't want to be fixed, I do, my heart does need healing. It's broken. And what does that look like? I mean, the quick version is, I mean, I remember the time was 12 years ago because that's when I first started counseling and started to push into some of this stuff. And my emotional vocabulary was three words. I could be happy, sad, or frustrated. And I didn't know how to talk about anything other than that. And now I actually have a list of probably 100 feelings words that I can look through when I'm trying to figure out what I'm feeling, which sometimes is uncomfortable because I get to a word like,
inadequate.
Inadequate. That's the one I said when we were practicing. Thanks for calling me inadequate.
Just so you know.
That was my practice word. She wasn't just totally throwing me under the bus. But I go, okay, I feel inadequate right now, which is not easy. I'm glad you guys are laughing. That's good. But now it's been years, literally years, since I've really cried. And that has its advantages for, you know, cruising steady through things. But I don't want to stay stuck there. So part of my hope for this year, as I think about heart or deeper or awaken or whatever it is that I would have times where I cry and times when I get mad. I don't tend to do that much either. And times that I really laugh out loud uncontrollably, because instead of my emotions that tend to live between a 4 and a 6, they might expand and get to a 2 and an 8 or a 9 or, you know, whatever. I don't want to go crazy, but.
You don't want to be like your wife.
We will have different words this year, yes. All that to say, I am praying that God will move my heart. Oh, and on the practical things, I'm going to read Psalms a couple times. Some of you guys know, I mean, Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, what I've been reading this year is a little more my style. But in Psalms, David has all this emotion, right? He feels overjoyed and he feels devastated and he cries out. And again, that doesn't tend to be my world, but I'm hopeful that God will use those to pull my heart into those. I'm going to write some poetry, which I don't tend to do. I don't do that often, but when I do, it's not from my head. It gets me into my heart some more. And I'm going to watch some epic movies. I've never seen a single Star Wars movie. I decided 2020 is the year for that. I'm going to rewatch The Lord of the Rings because those kind of tales pull my heart into them. And so all these, you know, the way you cultivate your word doesn't have to always feel spiritual or churchy, right? But what does God want you to do? And for me, I think some movies are going to be part of that.
Okay, so we want to share a little bit more about our story and how the One Word Challenge really impacted our lives, specifically in 2018. As I mentioned earlier, 2 years ago, Matt and I chose the same word, intimacy, and our desire was to grow in intimacy with God and with each other. And we wanted to be intentional in that growth and came up with some goals around it. One of our goals was to spend time with God every day. And not that we hadn't spent time with God before, but it was never consistent or regular. We were hesitant to make it a daily goal because we didn't want it to become a checklist to-do item. But we consistently prayed that it wouldn't become that. I think the fact that we really desired intimacy was key here. We didn't think we should do it or that others wanted to do it, but we really wanted it ourselves, and we desired it, and we were willing to sacrifice for it. Remember what I said, Rob Reimer said in that conference, is that intimacy takes sacrifice, and we were willing to sacrifice to have that intimacy. So now we spend time with God every day, and it's changed our life and continues to do so. We are totally different today than we were 2 years ago because of the investment that we made and that God consistently showed up. That doesn't mean we don't have tons of issues. I still get angry and yell at my kids. I struggle with being judgmental in my thought life. And I still like to buy new things after a whole year of the word contentment. But God has grown us a ton in our desire to know him, in our self-awareness, in hearing his voice, and in caring for others. The goal we had, another goal we had for intimacy was around having it with each other. And we decided to pray probably 5 or 6 nights a week before we went to sleep. And for the last 2 years, we've actually prayed every night together, 7 days a week. And that's been a huge growth area in our relationship. Now, some days we hurry through it, and some days we're mad at each other, and we have to do a little heart work before we pray, because sometimes I don't want to pray with him. And, but those other times, it's been really meaningful. We see glimpses of each other's heart as we pray. We can see the other person's desires or things that matter to them. We can have things to be thankful for and things to celebrate and things to weep over, which is, I'm better at doing that than him from what he just shared earlier. But we also get to intercede on behalf of others, and we ask God for usually big miracles, which stretches our faith and grows our trust in God as we pray together. And remember, that doesn't happen every time. Sometimes we hurry, and sometimes we're mad at each other, but other times it can be really significant and meaningful for us. And this is all because we embraced the One Word Challenge.
You could also share about another goal that's, you know, a little funnier to get everybody laughing again.
Oh, what goal might that be, husband?
Well, we also had a goal about sex as we grew in intimacy with each other. And so you might just consider that, especially some of you wives might consider how you might push into that goal for a year.
I didn't think that one was appropriate to share from the stage.
Probably wasn't, but we're on a roll.
But that is
continue, love, continue.
it's a little hot up here. Well, that is true, but we'll move along. Okay, we embraced the one word and took action in lots of different areas. Choosing a word and taking action looks different for everyone, and there's no prescription or easy 1, 2, 3, here's how you do it to get your word. There aren't specific goals for specific words that everyone must commit to. You have to take time to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him help you answer the question Jesus is asking you. What do you want me to do for you? And that could be in the car when you're driving, or it could be when you're spending alone time with Jesus. It could be when you're in the middle of feeling angry or in an argument with someone from your family, or when you're having a hard time at work. There's lots of times that he can stir that word in you. And once you get your word, I think it's important to ask Jesus how to partner with him in order to grow around your word. As Matt mentioned earlier, it's not about trying harder. It's about training. And it's not us making the changes in ourselves. We have to let Jesus do the work in us. In John 15:4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me."
So in quick review, as we close, Jesus came to give you life to the full and healing right now, not just eventually in heaven. And just like the blind man who encountered Jesus and asked for sight, you too can answer Jesus this year his question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you can do that by picking one word and by pushing into it. As you try to choose a word, listen. How is God stirring you? You can continue to use the front side of that card, those prompts, as a way to do that. And then three, once you have a word, find a way to keep it in front of you and potentially consider setting a couple goals or action steps to keep you moving. On the back side of that card, the other side, are three prompts there, which we're not going to work with these now. You can take this with you. But the first one says, "My word for 2020 is," and when you have it, if you have it now, go ahead and fill it in. If not, when you have it, have it. When you do have it, fill it in. "I will keep my word in front of me by," where am I going to hang it up? What am I going to do with it? And then three other, "Any practical goals or action steps to help cultivate my word in my life?" And again, we believe that not like us being up here was so awesome, but if you step and push into this, God will change your year. And next year there could be another one and could change your 2020s. One word, one healing, one thing at a time. One more thing.
Yes. So we would like to offer a gift to some of you. And they're going to put an email address on the screen. And if you are interested in practically setting your word in front of you, I like to be creative and do artistic things. And so I'm going to write 25 people's word of the year out for them so they can have it in front of them. And if you want to email wordof2020@gmail.com, make sure you include your name and a contact piece, either your phone number or email, and your word. We will randomly select 25 people, and I will gift that to you guys. Also, if you don't have email or you don't like that method, there are some papers out at the information counter, and you can fill that same information out. Your name, a way to contact you, and your word for the year. And you can do that up until next Sunday. We'll collect those for a week and then select people.
Yeah. Loretta does this cool calligraphy stuff, and you'll like it. All right. So let me pray for us. Also, after I pray, as I said, we were listening in this room before service, and there were a few things that people heard, like some of you might want to take a new level of trust or a new step of obedience. Some of you are looking for some more freedom or some more peace, and some want to really listen and push into this idea of listening. And so if any of those things resonate with you, or for any other reason, if you want to listen for your word, if you have your word and want to talk through it, come forward. And as soon as we close up, and there'll be some people down here to pray for us. So let me pray for us now. Father, thank you for this time to share. Lord, we pray that in the midst of our story and bumbling around and all of that, Lord, that you would speak to hearts in this room, even right now, that you might give someone or two people or three people their word right now and speak to the rest of us as we go from here today, as we sit quietly over this next week. Give us one thing that you want to do in our lives this year. May we answer you. Here's what we want you to do for us the same way the blind man did, and speak to us and use it in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to pray with somebody about your word or about those things or anything else, please come forward, and there'll be people up here to pray with you. Thanks.